Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Pam Danziger is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Pamela N. Danziger is her name. She is the founder of Unity Marketing. It's a marketing consulting firm specializing in consumer insights. She's the author of a number of books, including Let Them Eat Cake, including Why People Buy Things They Don't Need, and also the newest one is called Shopping. Why We Love It. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's nice to be here with you today.
It's good to have you here.
I know we're all looking forward to the Christmas season, so I'm hoping we could talk about that a little bit.
Now, Pam, all of us aren't looking forward to the Christmas season.
Now,
you know I'm a Scrooge.
Yeah, well, but for small businesses, it's like one of the most important,
For many small businesses, they literally make their year from now to the end of the year, don't they?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why we call it Black Friday, because that's when the red ink goes from red to black.
No, I didn't think that was the reason they called it Black Friday, but okay, I'll let you have that definition. So what do small business owners need to know about making sure that they maximize? Is this going to be a decent holiday season, Pam?
Well, you know, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because the National Retail Federation has a pretty dim view of the holiday compared to the last couple of years.
Yep.
And we just got information out. We do surveys, as you know, among luxury consumers, affluent consumers, and mm-hmm. the idea is that these luxury consumers are immune to things like rising gas prices and the economic ups and downs.
If they want it, they're going to get it, aren't they?
Well, in theory, that's the case, but in our most recent survey done at the beginning of October, we found that luxury consumers in the third quarter dropped their spending on luxury about 20%, which is the biggest drop we've seen since like early in 2005.
Right.
So we really see some real troubles and worries on the part of what we call these luxury consumers, the affluent consumers. So we're kind of concerned.
So if that's the case for luxury consumers, what does that mean for blue-collar consumers like me?
It means that it's going to be a tight time. And, you know, what we found with the luxury consumers is that not all luxury consumers are the same. And so the most affluent luxury consumers didn't stop spending. So they are people with earning $150,000 and above were they remained immune to the ups and downs. But the lower income, the people who are making from $100 to $150, are the ones that really dropped their spending. And, you know, a lot of retailers depend on them. It's what I call the comfortably affluent. They're really, they're hardly rich.
But even at $150 or more a year, this subprime issue wasn't just a problem for people who make $50,000 a year and who bought a little bit too big a house. Everybody who's not everybody, but many people, regardless of their income, in the last 5 years, many people have bought too big a house. If they, you know, just because they made $120,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year, that doesn't mean they couldn't have bought a bigger house than they needed.
And then That's exactly right.
And that they could afford.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I know this mortgage thing and the effect it's having on the value of prices. I mean, when people don't feel as wealthy, and the increasing home prices have made a lot of people feel, I guess, wealthier than they really were.
Do you think we're also seeing finally the gas prices are starting to take their toll on the consumer?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's still fairly low in Pennsylvania where I live, but I know, you know, they're still predicting it to get to $3 a gallon, and that hurts. I mean, it hurts everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, well, with oil prices in the 90s right now, I don't know how we're going to prevent gas prices from you know, being up. In fact, I saw something recently where premium was over $3.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and all that's going to trickle down, excusing the expression, to small businesses everywhere around the country. So you know, the message is people who own small businesses, particularly people who are depending upon retail, consumer services and businesses and retail mm-hmm. businesses, really are going to have to work extra, extra hard to be profitable and be successful this year.
Well, what do you recommend they do? What's your advice?
Oh my, there's so many bits of advice. But let me tell you something else before we get into the advice. I'd like to share with you other results of research that we saw that is very positive for small businesses. And it's still a little early, but we've done two studies now in the last year in vertical markets. One is in the jewelry business, and one is in the greeting card business mm-hmm. and market. And we found in both of those studies that specialty retail, which, you know, in those markets had taken a hit by mass merchants back in 2005 and before, mm-hmm. they've actually started to recover in 2007.
So what would be an example of a shop like that?
Well, it would be a jewelry store, and most small towns have got the mm-hmm. you know, jewelry stores on the corner, not the big chains, and
right.
not the mass merchants like, you know, not Walmart, but small mom and pop jewelry stores have begun to recover.
That's interesting.
And we've seen in small greeting card card stores and shops, you know, Hallmark
right.
stores and lots of other small stores that depend upon cards and stationery.
I wonder, but you know, Pam, I wonder, you know, the automobile industry is taking a little bit of a hit right now.
Right.
I wonder, you know, when things are going really well, a lot of people buy automobiles for the holidays. They buy a car for Christmas. You know, the whole family gets a new car. You know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder if that being the case, if maybe because the automobile industry is off a little bit, that might help some other smaller ticket industries. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I guess in my research, I never saw cars as being a big gift item. But I think,
yeah.
you know, I think that there's going to be some turn back. Consumers and shoppers, I think, at least the data is beginning to signal to me
mm-hmm.
that they're sort of beginning to get tired of seeing the same old in all the big national chains and in all
right.
the malls and in all the strip
mm-hmm.
stores, and are starting to look to Main Street and small retailers for something new and something different.
Hold on to that thought, Pam. Pamela N. Danziger, ladies and gentlemen, Danziger. The new book is called Shopping, Why We Love It, and all of her other books are wherever books are sold. And we come back, we're going to get her website, and she's going to give us some tips on how we can gird our loins during this holiday season coming up. Stay with us. 20 after. Now, between now and the end of the year, is it too late to take some steps to make this as good a season as possible?
Well, no, it really isn't. And you know, one of the things that I stress in my book, Shopping, the recent book on shopping, is that, you know, and a lot of retailers think, well, if I didn't buy right this year and if I don't have the right products in, you know, and that's all been done months ago, then I'm not going to have a very good season. And the most important thing retailers need to realize is that the products they sell are not as important. Now, they are important, but they're not as important as the way they sell them.
Bingo.
And that's really the secret of the new retail.
Everything that we sell today is a commodity. Every single thing we sell today is a commodity. The only thing that differentiates you from anybody else is not the price, it's not colors, it's not selection, it's how you treat the people who come in your door.
Exactly, and as long as retailers can focus on, you know, it's what I call the people side of the retailing business, they're going to be much more successful. So it's really the soft stuff. It's not so much, again, the products you have in your store and the way they're arranged. It's really the people side. And let me tell you a story, because I was recently in Chicago, and I love to shop on Michigan Avenue, you know, the Miracle Mile in Chicago.
Right.
And I went into a store, and I was looking for a handbag that would, well, you know about me and handbags and shoes. So I was looking for a handbag.
That's where I get my handbags. I love it. Yeah, go ahead.
Good. I was looking for a handbag and that would match a pair of shoes and an outfit that I have. So it was kind of in the brown color family. So I had two or three that I was sort of holding up at the mirror, and they were all on sale. But we were talking, the one that I was most questionable about was really kind of fancier than the others and a little more expensive, about $500, even though
Holy
it was on sale.
Mackerel.
I know. So, you know, I was inclined to go for a lesser design product.
Good
I was
move.
Inclined to go for one that was about $400, save me $100. And, you know, the shop girl came up and she said, you know, looking at the handbags and what are you looking for? And she started to talk to me and she said, well, you know, this handbag that you're holding, the expensive one, she said, that's a Lockhart handbag. And she went on to tell me the story about how these designers used to work for one company and then
and
they went off
on their own.
And now
you're falling in love, right?
Exactly. I didn't know anything about the brand. I didn't know anything about the designers. I still don't know, you know, their names or what company they came
right.
from. But she told me a story.
And now you have a new handbag, don't you?
Yeah, and I got the most expensive one.
And please tell me the price you gave us was the retail, not the sale price.
It was the sale price. It was about $498 or
you mean it was
like
discounted
that.
To $500?
Yeah, it was about a $700, $750.
I didn't know they made things like that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's cheap in the world of handbags.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, the thing was she gave me a reason to buy. And that's what we call,
yeah.
you know, a justifier
yeah.
in the world of shopping.
And she didn't walk up to you and say, let me know if I can help you.
Oh, heavens no. She came up to me and said, oh, you know, you want these nice bags? Well, look at that one. You know, this
yeah.
one is the special one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made such a difference because she gave me a reason to buy. And that's what shop owners need to think about when it comes to helping consumers or helping shoppers in the store. Not bugging them, but really sharing something valuable
Pam,
and interacting with them on a personal level.
I have to ask you this question. I know you make your own money. I know you're professional in your own right and everything, and that you don't have to ask anybody if you can buy anything. But did you tell your husband how much the bag costs?
Well,
tell the
of course
truth.
I did, Jim. You know my husband works with
I
me.
Know, but still, that doesn't mean that he has to know. I mean, I don't know everything either around here, by the way.
Yeah, well, you see, he goes to the meetings with me, and he knows
right.
I can't go showing up looking like a schlub.
No. I expect you to be dressed to the nines. I'm just, I tell you, though, I'm a little, you kind of took my breath away with that one. Anyway, what about some marketing techniques besides waiting on customers in the minute we got left? What about some marketing techniques? You got any ideas there?
Well, you know, in my book, Shopping, we have there's seven factors. We call them the POP equation. Seven factors that you can make in your store. You can create these environments in your store through the POP equation. And these are things that make your store stand out, make it pop for the consumer, make it really an exciting and special store. Things like how you can create a contagious electric quality in your store, making people curious and involving them in shopping. And at my website, www.whypeoplebuy.com, I have a little self-test that retailers can take that they just have to check off the boxes and then they can read what I have
and
to
that's
say.
That's free, right?
Oh, it's free. Of course it's free.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they can take this little test. It's only seven questions and A,
yeah.
B choices. So, you know, it's not that hard. But
so retailers,
get some
go
really
to
solid ideas.
Whypeopleshop.com is Pam's website.
Why
take
people
that
buy.
Test. Whypeoplebuy.com. Whypeoplebuy.com. Go there and take that test. You'll learn some things. Maybe it'll help you make your year between now and the end of the year. Hey, Pam. Thanks for being here. As always, it's good to have you here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Good luck on your next shopping. You know, you can buy those things for $100. They make nice ones for $100. I'll see you next time. Kelly Oldwater and I will be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.